Evening class. We're going to try to take up this week exactly where we stopped at last week on how God establishing His kingdom. Well, we kind of left off knowing, saying in this class here that the last class that God's going to get His kingdom established, and I made a statement in. The statement was with us or without us. And preferably, we'd rather that we be in God's plan and when God establishing His kingdom, that we'll be right in on what He's doing. But I want to take up, if you got your notes or if you've been following the book, right at the next statement, what I do, I go through the book and I outline pretty much the statement in the book. Sometimes I just go for word with it. And it worked pretty good, then you can try to keep up a little bit best you can. And I think because you can keep up in your book, it kind of, you can mark it and pretty much when it's time to study, you know exactly what I covered. And so you won't be going all over, jumping all over the place, trying to keep up with the classes here. Because there's so much to be said and we never cover everything. But I'm trying to get you to know exactly what we covered and where we are so you can kind of pinpoint without me jumping all over the place. All right, Claire? So here this statement says, though Satan, now we're still with those five scriptures that we talk about. And all those five scriptures talk about obey, obedience, obey it, and have not obeyed. It talk about the principle of being established of obedience. So with those scriptures in mind, I'm not going to read all those scriptures again, Claire, but with those scriptures in mind as our foundation for this session, these two classes here, I want you to keep in mind what we're talking about so you can stay informed and so you can keep up with us. So, though Satan continually violates God's authority and men daily rebel against him, God will not permit such rebellion to continue forever. He will set up his kingdom. Oh, you see it? Now, I know we didn't go over this scripture, but I always reference, even though we're not going over the scriptures, but I'm bringing these scriptures before you to your scripture remembrance, so you know exactly what he's saying. And sometimes God deal with continuous rebellion. When I think about continuous rebellion, I think about the children of Israel, how they daily rebelled against God, almost to a place where God wanted to wipe out the whole nation of Israel and say, I'm going to start a brand new one. Moses falls on his face and said, God, they're going to say you couldn't bring your children up out of Israel. And God hearkened to the voice of Moses, which was a tremendous thing that God did. Because God will not go back on his promises. And so sometimes God says things to see just how you're going to respond. He didn't mean he was going to destroy the nation, but he wanted to see how Moses is going to respond to him saying that sometimes. So all that's in the wisdom and the supernatural powers of God and his endless knowledge. You see, in his sovereignty. And you got to always see God in his sovereignty, how he's bigger than what we see, bigger than what we understand, bigger than what we think. My thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways, say the Lord. My thoughts are always higher. So whenever God says something, just think higher than mine. I can't understand everything God do. And don't try to even figure things out sometimes. Just trust God by faith and obey. Now, with that being said, my point is sometimes when men daily rebel against God, God will not permit such rebellion to continue forever. And sometimes God has a point, a cutting off point. A cutting off point is not a good point for us sometimes. Sometimes you get to the place where God gave you that space to repent. You go a long time without changing, and God gave us a faith to repent. And sometimes when you continue obedience, God said, I've got to withdraw my presence or expose your sin. You see it? God never withdraw his presence without warning us, giving us ample time to repent, to get things right. That's his grace and his mercy. It's so far beyond our thinking. He'll go years waiting on you to change. But finally, there's a cutting off point. Are you with me, class? So you don't want to keep going through rebellion and doing the same thing over and over. Finally, God's going to have to deal with it. Finally, God's going to have to expose it. After he gave you ample opportunity to get things straight with him or with whoever you're rebelling against, God will not continually tolerate a rebellious person. Finally, God's going to have to open up a ground. Finally, God's going to have to send fire from heaven. You see? Finally, God's going to have to open up a Red Sea. I'm just showing something that God allowed because of these people much rebellion. And I always put it on a personal level. You see, I don't want to continue doing the same thing over and over and expect different results. No. You got to obey God. So, because my point is, he will set up his kingdom. As we said in the last week class, God will establish his kingdom with you or without you. And in this class today, he will set up his kingdom. That means God's kingdom come, thy will be done. He didn't, whether it depend on you, whether his kingdom come, or whether it depend on you, whether his will be done. His will can be done because he said it will be done. He said his kingdom coming. And so if you get in, get out, or get run over. That was the word you'd say back in the day. Get in, get out, or you're going to get run over, or God will run over you if you don't move out of his way. And you're just trying to keep holding back God's plan and God's program and God's plan of redemption back. God's not going to tolerate it for all day and all night and all year and all season and all month. Finally, you'll get tired. Make the changes. How then does the Lord establish God's kingdom? He established it through his obedience. That's how God established his kingdom, through obedience. It's not like a good question, Uncle Adam. How will God's kingdom be established? He established it through his obedience. And that's how he established your kingdom. What do I mean, your kingdom? You see, there's a corporate world and there's a personal world. The corporate is when the body of Christ unifies together and work toward the kingdom of God, like a church, getting unity and a vision. And they push God's plan into fruition through their church's obedience. That's when all the body in that particular church get on one accord and God's vision get fulfilled. That's why this I keep going to the witness. I talked about it last week. I keep going to the witnessing app class. You see, until there be full participation, Dr. Leroy Thompson Jr. said we're almost to 1,000. And he said, you're going to be the one that's going to make the 1,000? Why? Because we're pushing for full participation. And for full participation, had to be full obedience. Now somebody might say, well, isn't everybody not going to agree? Well, sure, everybody not going to agree, but I don't want to be the one that disagreeing. What about you? I don't want to be the one that keep God from causing his full cooperation. And I don't want to be the one to keep the body of Christ from becoming one. Let's say, for instance, is that God said, I just need one more person to kick this plan off. And then nobody want to step up. Somebody want to step up. No, we need that one. That's going to make the difference. You see? That's just like the parable Jesus talked about. You know, a man has 99 sheep. And then one of them lost. One of the 100 sheep lost. He going to leave the 99 until he go to find that one sheep, because that will make up the whole. Sometimes God waiting for that one person, and that will make up the whole. Oh, you that one God been holding up? You been holding up God's plan? I don't want to be that one. Are you the one that disobeying, that keep God from moving? I know sometimes. See, when I'm teaching like this, I get thoughts to come. God's thoughts. The Holy Spirit will bring things to my mind while I'm talking. And then I just saw, like in the flash, on Sunday morning, sometime, apostle get in the spirit. And then when he making the altar call, and then he said, I still got somebody else need to come. And he will wait and wait. He said, who holding this thing up here? Somebody not obeying God. Who holding this up? Who holding us up? And sometimes he'll stay there until God manifests that person, but that person make that move. But you see, people don't realize. You might say, well, he missed it. No, they missed it. Are you with me, class? You see, just because nobody moved, somebody was disobedient. Somebody didn't hear the voice of God. Somebody didn't obey, because the Spirit of God always bear witness with God. You see it? And so my point is sometimes it's just that one. I got stuck there for a second. All right. Never once was he disobedient to God, talking about Jesus. Never once was Jesus disobedient to God. And that's, I said that last week, talking about his suffering. His suffering could not be through disobedience. You see, like our suffering is sometimes, we suffer because we disobey. But never once did Jesus disobey God. Never once did he resist God's authority while he was on the earth. Never once. That's why he's the author of eternal salvation, and that's why he established the principle of obedience upon the earth. By obeying perfectly, and by permitting God's authority to rule absolutely, he established God's kingdom within the realm of his own obedience. Oh, you see that, Claire? Do you see that, Claire? Now, just as our Lord has done, so much the church. Well, so much the church. But let's individualize this, class. So much us as individuals. You see, the church, I'm not talking the corporate church. So much the church today obey in order that the authority of God may prosper and the kingdom of God be manifested. That's that word. God said, let me manifest. See, God want to manifest his kingdom. And for him to manifest his kingdom, you have to become obedient to the authority of God so his church can prosper. Manifestation comes through obedience. And another word for obedience, I'm almost right down the line with apostles' message yesterday. And another word for obedience is yielding to the Spirit of God. That's all obedience is, yielding to the Spirit of God. I can make that a test question. What is obedience? And answer would be yielding to the Spirit of God. You see it? It's not in your books, but put that down in your notes, because I might use that in one of my test questions. Yielding to the Spirit of God. Now, here's another profound statement. It's taking us to another section of this lesson here. And I like this part of the lesson, because it gives us a scope of God's plan. You see, it gives us an idea how God is fixing to manifest himself from the beginning of his redemptive work, so we can see it being manifested in real time. I say real time, it took a long time, but real time means in the earth realm and not in God's supernatural timing without no time. You see, I don't know if I made sense just now, but I knew what I was saying. God ordained the church to be the vanguard of his kingdom. God ordained the church. When we talk about the church, we're talking about the church at large. We're talking about the universal church. God ordained the church to be the vanguard of his kingdom. Well, to understand the vanguard, I looked it up one time. It was the elite group that headed out a massive army, but there always was an elite group an elite group that was stood at the forefront and made the most difference in the battle. So the church, he ordained to be the vanguard of his kingdom. You see it? After the fall of Adam, God chose Noah. Now pay attention here, class, because we finally gonna get down to the church. Because the church, after all these dispensations, I've been wanting to get here. I've been doing a lot of study along these lines to get here. A lot of preparation to get here. I read a lot of hours to get here. A lot of research to get here. A lot of books to get here. And I still feel short in my understanding and explanation. You see it? But he's about to begin with the origin of his master plan to create his kingdom upon the earth. And it's going to start out with his creation, but it's going to end with his church. The church, after all, is the master plan that God used to bring his kingdom. Thy kingdom come to bring his kingdom to the earth. And now I feel honored to be in this dispensation of time. That God went from the beginning of time to find a people that can work out his redemptive plan and end up with the church. And the church is the vanguard. We're the one. We're in the dispensation of time, class, that's going to usher in the kingdom of God. Oh, what a holy place God has put us in. That's why he said, I made you priests and kings. Talking about the church. We're the one that God's going to bring God's kingdom in. We're the one, oh my, listen to this, that got the last baton. You see, the church been handed the last baton to the patriarchs of old to bring in the final lap. You want to see the lap, I'm talking in the race. The final run. We got the final run of this thing right here. God gave it to the church. Oh, my God. Oh, what an awesome place. Oh, what an awesome place. Oh, what an awesome place God had put the church in. We got the final. We're making the final laps here. The church is. We in that church. That's why we can't miss a step. We can't miss a beat. We got to stay on track with God. We can't be detoured by anything. We can't be pulled to the left. We can't be pulled to the right. Because we can't be slowed down. We can't stumble. We can't fall. We got to keep on going straight toward the mark. I hope you understand what I'm saying, Glad. We the final run. This is the final run. Everybody say the final run. Yeah. So let me start over now so you can see what we're about to go with this class. It's going to get good. After the fall of Adam, God chose Noah and his family. However, they too fell after the flood. So God called out Abraham. Thank God for Abraham. Abraham to be the father of a multitude of nations. His intention being to set up his kingdom through Abraham. And that's what the beginning of God setting up his kingdom. He was the man that God used to say he's going to bring faith into the earth realm that faith can be counted as righteousness. Oh my goodness. Abraham was succeeded by the election of Isaac. You all know the story. Oh my goodness. Read through the Bible sometime. And then later of Jacob. The descendants of Jacob multiplied greatly under the Egyptian oppression and their rule. And therefore, God sent Moses to deliver them out of Egypt that they might establish a new nation. You see what's happening, Claire? God beginning his order of redemption. God is beginning his plan, putting his plan into effect. But you know, God is so long-suffering. It was hundreds of years. I mean, it was hundreds of years. It was years from Abraham. From Abraham Abraham lived to be 175 years old, to my study. And then he passed it on down to Isaac. Isaac lived some long time. And then Isaac passed it on to Jacob. And then Jacob lived some long time. Jacob folded his knees into the bed. I read the story. And then he blessed all his sons before he did it. Then he went home to be with the Lord. And because he was counted as righteousness. And after Abraham, the 12 tribes, the 12 patriarchs. And then that was Joseph. Joseph was sold into Egypt to his brother because they envied him. Because God had told him that God showed Joseph part of his redemption plan. They couldn't see that far. But the Bible said Jacob took note of what the dream that Joseph had. And so God started his plan of redemption. Didn't seem like it was a master plan, but it was a master plan that God preserved the children of Israel through famines and through going to Egypt. We find out many things happened. And then they were in bondage for 430. You see, God's so long suffering, but God working out the master plan, trying to find obedience. So I'm just bringing you up to that speed so you can understand exactly what God's doing. He wasn't planned, but it all came through obedience. And sometimes I wonder why God was so long suffering, because he knew he was dealing with a rebellious people. He knew he was dealing with human beings that sometime up and sometime down. You know what I'm talking about. Sometimes they obey when things are favorable. When things are not favorable, they disobey. When things are going good, they hollering praise and glory to God. When things are not going so good, they're murmuring and grumbling and complaining. Sound like us, huh? So God dealt with this. And you wonder why God takes so long to bring us our prosperity, our wealth, and everything else? Because we make too many little side tricks. We make too many little side detours. You see, we because if you're obedient, the Bible says you eat the good of the land. But if sometimes we rebel and refuse, and God got to take detours with us. God got to bring us through a detour to get us to learn obedience. I see this thing, Claire. I see this thing. All God wants us to do is obey. He can establish his kingdom, and then while he establishes his kingdom, he makes sure your kingdom is established, your home is established, your children are established. Sometimes God allows you to see some things you don't want to see, experience some things you don't want to experience, go down some roads you don't want to go down. You see, marry some people you don't have to both to marry. Go into a divorce you should never went in, because you should never marry in the first place. But we got pig-headed and move ahead of God. Didn't want to listen. Didn't want to obey God. I don't know how I got off to that, but it's the truth anyway. And that was a little side journey for you. And you learned some things. You experienced some things. And now you know, I'm not going to do that no more. I'm going to wait till God send the right one. Yep. You should listen to the first time somebody tried to tell you about it. But no. You want to experience for yourself. Sometimes we want to experience it for ourselves, and it's fine to learn, but it sets you so far back. All right, now, I'm not going to get too far over on that. But because there were disobedient ones among them, God led the Israelites through the wilderness in order to do what? Teach them obedience. Sometimes God leads you to a wilderness to teach you obedience. You see, I said something about the wilderness earlier. I forgot how it go now. Your willingness. You see, if you walk in wilderness, in willingness, if you walk in willingness, willingness, if you walk in willingness, it'll keep you out of the wilderness. I think that was pretty neat. Amen. All right. Nevertheless, they persisted in their rebellion against God, with the result that the whole generation fell dead along the way. See, I told you that's always a stopping point. God always gets to the place where he says, enough is enough. He said, I'm not gonna let this rebellious nation go into into the land of promise, because they're going to bring all their contamination with them. They're going to bring all their thoughts, all their idols, all their falsity with them. And they're going to begin to function in a place, in a way, and that it feels like I wish I had never brought them over to Jordan. God said, this generation not going to cross the Jordan. God said, no, you're going to stay on this side of Jordan because of your rebellious way. All right. Even though the second generation succeeded in entering Canaan, they still did not hearken to God's word with a perfect heart. Hence, they could not drive the Canaanites completely out of the land. And see, some more case. Oh, see, sometimes you wonder why you can't drive the Canaanites out of your land. You see, sometimes you can't get to the place you want to get because you allow some things into the camp that shouldn't went into the camp. Saul became the first king. Now we didn't move on up. Another progression of God trying to get his kingdom established in the earth. Now, mind me in our class, we're headed all the way from the first dispensation talked about Noah, all the way to the church that's going to be the vanguard of his kingdom, of bringing his kingdom in. I want you to see this, class. It's so important. It's so important, the position that God put us in. We don't want to fail God, but I know we're not just one. We're many members. We're not just one being. We're many members that make up one local body. And then from that local body, there are many local bodies that got to make up the larger body, the whole body of Christ. The Bible says, until we be one church, you see, without spot or wrinkle. So God ain't coming for no denomination. God ain't coming for something that you call in your own thing. God coming from a universal church, a one mind, one spirit, one baptism, one Lord, one faith. You see, and that's what he's coming for. And God is getting the church ready. I heard the apostle say something yesterday. We're in the last days, class. He said, we're in the last days. Yeah, we're in the last days. No doubt we're in the last days. And so in the last days, God might be speeding some things up. You see, he might be speeding some things up, and we got to catch up because we don't want to get left behind. God don't want his church to get left behind. Okay, so now we're finding out that Saul messed up. God tried to establish his kingdom through Saul, but it could not be established because Saul rebelled. We dealt with Saul a while back. God told him to slay the Amalekite and destroy everything. And you see it? I mean, everything. Because he had to wipe out the Amalekite's rebellion. And he didn't want to bring that. He told him, obey me. Just do what I say. And then just destroy him like I say. But for some reason, Saul had a better idea. See, don't let your better idea try to overrule God's plan. Because it looked like a better idea. That's not obedience. You see, that's you trying to do your own thing. You with your own mind, with your own, you can create your own vision, and it got out of God's vision. It was not until David was chosen that God found in him the king who was after his own heart. My goodness, you know how big that statement is? A king that think like me. A king that obey me like he need him to obey me. Yeah, did David make a mistake? Yeah, David made a mistake. But David's heart was right. David's heart was tender and sensitive to God. When David messed up, David would cry out in his heart to God. And God saw his heart. God heard his cry. And God always came toward David's rescue because he knew his heart. See, so you can make mistakes, but if your heart right, God can deal with you. God said, I can work with that. Because every time I show them they messed up, they stand before me and repent and with a heart, a contrite heart, that don't want to sin no more. And I see it. I see the genuineness of their heart. All right? It was not until David was chosen. So even so, traces of rebellion still remain within the nation. God had appointed Jerusalem to be the place where his name would be set. But the people continued to sacrifice at the great high place in Gibeon. I hope you remember that. They still didn't do what God said do. And still the high place in Gibeon where they were sacrificing paganistic God. They got it the way. What they did was they began to invite other nations into their company, and they began to go after their gods. You see, married their women and brought their custom and culture into their home, into their family, and took their gods and forgot all about the God that's above every God. Forgot about Jehovah. And so God had to deal with their rebellion. God had to get them straight. They were weak and obedient. They had a king, yet they liked the spiritual substance of a kingdom. See, just because you got a kingdom, that don't mean you got the right king. You see, they had a king, but they liked the spiritual substance of a spiritual kingdom. God wanted a spiritual, supernatural kingdom. Before the time of David, there was a kingdom without a proper king. You see it? At David's time, both the king and the kingdom were present, but the spiritual substance of the latter was still missing. God's kingdom had yet to be truly established because David couldn't establish it without all the right ingredients of the people involved. They still were contrary. The Lord came to this world to set up God's kingdom. But you're going to find out through the progression of time that David was the lineage to whom the Lord Jesus Christ came. If you know, one time I used to skip over all the genealogies, you know, in my early years of reading the Bible. Boy, I would get to those chapters, oh man, and I said, oh, that's too much. I couldn't even pronounce half of the name, and I couldn't even pronounce more than half the name. And I would just skip over it. I just find the chapter where he didn't have all them names. But I find out all these generations that people, and some begot this one, and this one begot that one, until I found how Jesus came through. You see it? And not one of these persons was insignificant in God using them. Every one of these persons have some ounce of obedience that God could travel through time, through them. Each one of them had to obey God in some manner to get to Jesus. You know, and so, and to get to God's person, to get to a Mary, to get to a Joseph who married Mary. Somewhere down the line, somebody had to have an ounce of obedience. I say an ounce because they, you know, if God, I just use that, but, you know, some act of obedience. Somewhere they were led to be a part of God saying they worked it, they put their name in the book. God don't just slack names in the book, you know. That's something you did to cause your name to be in the book. You didn't have to stumble up in where you are, what you're doing. You didn't just stumble in the school. See, sometimes you got to see the big picture. Sometimes it was no accident that you on Ever Increasing Word Training Center role as a student. Somewhere down the line, your name was called, and you obeyed, and you said, yes, Lord, I believe I'll go to that school. Sometimes God used a person to tell you about the school and say, you know something? I think I might enroll to that school. But you don't know what God's doing. Sometimes you don't know that you're going to be listening to apostles and all these instructors that God had and imparted some of themselves and into you. You didn't know. But somewhere down the line, you obeyed. And sometimes somewhere down the line, God saw it necessary for you to do and be what you're doing. And sometimes it's necessary for you to make certain connections. You see? God don't do anything without purpose and plan. Sometimes you don't know how you fit in. You see? You say, Lord, how I fit into your scope of plan? How I fit into what you're doing here? I don't know. See, sometimes God is so long patient, so long suffering. He goes years and years and years and years and years developing his plan. All I know is somewhere down the line, I got involved in it. I became a part of his plan after many years, many years. After this year, going to be 42 years of following Apostle. So to still be here after 42 years and still doing something, instructing, I must have had some level of obedience if it was only enough to get me here. Some purpose, some plan that God had to keep me here, to keep me alive. You see it? Sometimes you don't know why you're still alive and you don't know why God preserved you, but it's part of his redemptive plan and it's part of you being in that last race that God had. See, Paul said, I finished my race. But I think this is a race here that's going on now that we got to finish. I don't know if we're going to be the one to usher in the Lord Jesus Christ or not, but I know it's going to be through the church. And that's why I know if we're in the last days of the coming King, of the soon coming King. And it's only through obedience, class, that we're going to work out this thing that God has already orchestrated. I see the plan. I see what's happening. I got three minutes left, Claire. Let me see, can I get this last thing in? The Lord came to this world to set up God's kingdom. Now, that's through the dispensation. Somebody say he came through 42 generations. Now, it took some time for 42 generations to transpire. His gospel is twofold. In nature, the personal and the corporate. I'm almost through. As to the personal, the gospel called men to receive eternal life through faith. As to the corporate, it bids men to enter God's kingdom through repentance. Oh, you see it? It's twofold, but I say it's threefold. That's another area of this call. Threefold, I'm adding one in to bring others into the kingdom. He said he called men to receive eternal life through faith. And then the corporate is it bids men to enter God's kingdom through repentance. And then finally, it uses men to evangelize the world. These same men through threefold. God's eyes are on the kingdom. The Lord's Prayer, for example, begins with and concludes with the kingdom. Everything starts and begins and ends with the kingdom. And God's whole desire is that his kingdom come and his will be done. But it all comes to obedience. It starts with thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. God's kingdom is that realm within which the will of God is carried out without any interference. See it? God's kingdom is the realm where the will of God is carried out without any interference. Now, class, I want you to say, I'm not going to be the interference. I'm not going to be the one to interfere with God's plan and God's kingdom being coming to fruition. No, I'm going to do my part. And when you say you do your part, and you know you can't speak for everybody, but do your part. God don't want you to speak for everybody. Joshua said, choose this day whom you're going to serve. And for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. See, you got your house. Your house. You're responsible for your house. You're not responsible for everybody in the neighborhood. You want to tell everybody in the neighborhood, but you're responsible for your house. Make sure you spread the spirit of obedience through your house. Make sure all your children are born again. Make sure all your grandchildren are born again. Don't be so quick to evangelize the world when you ain't evangelized your children first, and your grandchildren, and your great-grandchildren. Make sure they know the Lord. Make sure they're connected. Make sure they're connected. Well, Claire, that's the far as I can go. I'm about to close, and I'll see you next time. God bless you.